Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Studio action here. Stacy Zinn, former director of U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency operations in Montana, DEA agent, formerly and now a candidate for Congress, Montana's Eastern District. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's the campaign trail? I mean, this is your first race. You come out of law enforcement, so to speak, and a really probably pressure-packed job in law enforcement, too, with a lot of responsibility. And now you're out on the campaign trail. That's a transition, Stacey. How is it going?
Oh, it's a big transition. I mean, with being in law enforcement and also being formerly the head of DEA, I had no social media. We operate in the darkness.
Oh yeah.
And so coming out and saying, and everyone's saying, okay, you got to do Instagram, you got to do Facebook, what? Huh? You know, so that has been a big, big adjustment. Now talking, speaking with people, individuals, I'm used to interrogating people, interviewing people. So that's up my alley. And I love people. I love to engage with them, learn what their issues are. So that has been a very easy thing for me to do. But I do feel like I am in high school trying out for cheerleader. Because it's got that, you know, funness, if that's even a word, mm-hmm. but it's also got that, what is she doing? Or, oh, what is she wearing type ickiness.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the public part of it, I guess. And that it's like a box of chocolates.
Well,
right?
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the other candidates. I mean, the public's been great.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But my main question would be, when people hear about your background, Are you able to talk with them about how serious our drug problems can be, not only in this country, but the border? I mean, it all ties together in a lot of ways. Are they as aware of it and care about it as much as, say, like you do?
Well, I have done a lot of presentations to the communities and schools, and so people know that that's my background. So we don't really, to be honest, we don't really talk much about drugs. We talk about the border. We talk about ag questions, and we talk about policy, international stuff, but I've realized that we need to get back and start talking about this horrible drug problem that we have throughout the state of Montana, because since I've left the Drug Enforcement Administration, I am seeing some activities out there that actually puts me on my heels, and I have been communicating and still doing drug presentations, but we need to get back to that conversation because with the lack of law enforcement that we have in the state, I'm seeing nefarious groups come in. And if we don't get this under control, we're going to be in trouble.
What do we do?
Well, what we need to do is hire more boots on the ground. What does that mean? We need some more local law enforcement. We need more DCI boots on the ground. And we need more federal drug agents. What does that mean? I had four guys to cover Havre down to Gallatin County, over to Ekalaka, up to Plentywood. Four guys. And we liaison with the other teams. But that's not enough, because we got Indian reservations that are being inundated with a lot of these cartel members and individuals coming from Chicago, Minneapolis region. And we barely have anyone that can even get out there for surveillance. So we're not doing our community's justice. And what I've been doing is going up on different national media to also shed light of what's happening in Montana, especially the Eastern District of Montana.
Stacey Zinn again with us here as former DEA agent, candidate for Congress, Montana's Eastern District. The border. I'm sure people are talking about the border. They're probably, I don't know, are angry about it. Are they curious about it? Do they know where the policy is coming from, when it's one of the biggest issues in this election season? So what are they telling you?
Well, people are angry about the border, and that is probably, I would say, the number one conversation that we have. It doesn't matter what field these individuals in, they're saying, the border bothers me. Walk me through it. Why can't we close the border? I said, we can. We have laws in place. This is for the political vote. I don't care what anyone says. This is an opportunity for this current administration to change the demographics of America. When you have individuals that are going to come into California, they're going to get free health care. They come to Colorado and get their free little gift cards. They're going on to Carolinas and getting their free driver's license or their driver's license. They're going to Boston and being able to vote in local elections. It's all by design, and we have to stop this. And we need to also focus on our northern border. We have, that's what spooks me. I mean, everyone is focused on the southwest border, and yes, we have terrorists that have strolled across our border, but our northern border is wide open. And when we have different refugees or different countries coming in through Plentywood, through by the national park, we have a problem, because the last thing we need is someone to walk a dirty bomb across our ranches and come on down. And no one's going to be able to see them until after the fact, and they're going to be gone.
Is there, what more do we need to do? Because if you over-enforce, then you're limiting freedoms as well. It's not always just put boots on the ground. You've got to, in my mind, it's more of a nuanced circumstance, isn't it?
Well, we need more electronic surveillance up there. We need more protections. We also need to coordinate with the Canadians. I was dealing with the Canadians, even though that was not my lane as DEA. We were in communications talking about, okay, what are y'all doing up there to protect your southern border? And they would say, well, we're really looking for you guys for guidance and support. I'm like, that, you know, okay, this. So we've got to join the two governments and start talking about national security, because Canada's bringing in a lot of refugees and they're coming in that area. But there's a lot of people up there that have they're going to do nefarious things. I mean, your drug traffickers up there, they used to be all grouped in different sections. Now they're all consolidating and they're joining forces. That bothers me, because you have fentanyl super labs up there in Canada. It's only a matter of time where those fentanyl items are going to come, pills are going to come southbound. They haven't across the Montana High Line, which still surprises me. But again, it's only a matter of opportunity for them.
And this is, where everybody needs to be involved. Parents, I think, especially need to educate themselves about the dangers of these sorts of drugs with their kids. As a member of the House of Representatives, if you're successful, how do you take these ideas and these values regarding our border policy and try to get movement in such a large body there, where not everybody is going to have the same agenda?
Well, what we first need to do is get Donald Trump elected, get him into office, and then you start helping him gut these different agencies. Your top tier agencies that are not upholding their mission statement. And I can name off a handful of them, and we won't go into that right now. But you gut the directors and the administrators, and then you gut their executive board that's sitting around them. And what they do, you put good people in place, and then you got to pretty much like Roto-Root the core employees and get rid of ones that are not upholding the missions. What do I mean by that? That's how you start turning things around. You have a agency that upholds the laws of the land and gets away from the wokeness. If that happens, then you're going to have good. It's a start. It's going to take a while to start gutting these agencies, but it has to be done, because we've got agencies out there, federal agencies, that are going rogue, and that's a no-go. And I'll say BLM, IRS. You got to look at even the top tier of DEA, FBI. The whole gamut needs to be looked at. Then you also look at Department of Justice, and you look at if they're upholding the sentencing guidelines. During the Obama administration, they lowered them. What did this do? This signaled to the criminals that, hey, I don't have to do that much time. I can do that standing on their head. Well, no, we need to get back to those higher levels. And reason being, because that's when you can flip them, and then they will give you the hierarchy of the criminal element. But right now, it's all lukewarm. It's timid waters, and we are being invaded by criminals, and it's time to stop this.
And I see our courts being part of this as well. I just read one article where there was a judge on the East Coast who actually said, do not argue the Second Amendment in this court. The Second Amendment does not exist in this court. There was a report of a kid. He was 18 years old with an AK-15, 26 bullets into a neighborhood. He was actually shooting at a car. The judge let him out on bail. Just that very, and then you go back to where that is. Now, I know that's a different sort of situation, a different conversation to have as well. But do you think we need to make some adjustments to the judiciary? And if they are, what can we do?
Absolutely. These judges need to be impeached. If they're not upholding the laws of the land, they need to go. I mean, and here's this, the voters right now, the voters have opportunity to vote in two Supreme Court justices. Please, please, please look at these candidates, because our Supreme Court's one of the most liberal in the land. And it doesn't matter what all law enforcement does, boots on the ground. If I bring more boots on the ground, it's all for naught. If we cannot uphold the laws of the land, what is there, then it's all for naught. And you can get me fired up with the conversation. I'm going to have to back off now.
This is why I like Stacey's in, right? We need to impeach them. There's no hesitation there. And I think you're right. I mean, or at least be more wise about who we set on the bench.
Yes. The voters are waking up. And unfortunately, we in the past have like did our daily business, raised our families, go to work, and we've taken our finger off the eye of mm-hmm. the storm, and that storm has completely taken us over.
Yeah. And we're painting a broad brush as well, but I think we can name court instances where we would be saying that. Well, what that person needs to be impeached. They're not doing their job. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case for everybody. So I just want to state that as well. Stacey Zinn is in studio. We'll finish up here. Eastern District candidate, GOP primary. Stacey, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. And thanks, you know, for your public service as a former DEA agent, and throw your hat in the ring for public service. It's not an easy job. What sets you apart?
What sets me apart is I'm not a politician. I believe in term limits. I believe in doing the right thing. There's been people out there saying, oh, Stacey, you haven't pushed that green and red button. So I've been in a federal position for close to 23 years. I've been in probably 50 different foreign countries. I've worked with embassies and consulates and foreign governments. I have walked the talk, and there's other candidates out there that have not and probably couldn't spell the different foreign countries I've been in. But let's swing back around. My national security, I have worked with the spooks, with DIA, with NSA and stuff. I know how they operate and stuff. None of these individuals have. I've worked teams under a continuing resolution dealing with the national debt. I know what we need to do to how to balance the budget. I know how to gut these other agencies that have gone rogue. And then I know about energy. I know about just the basic stuff. And you know what? We have problems in eastern Montana that has not been addressed for at least 10 years, 12 years.
Like?
And I mean, you got a water problem up in the northern part of Montana. You have a levee problem in the eastern part. You have a dam problem or dike problem. And then now they're piping in CO2 and burying it in southern part of Ekalaka. These things we need to support our communities out there, and I'm wondering what has happened and why this hasn't been taken care of. I'm a fixer, so I believe in at least trying to figure out how to fix this stuff, and it needs to be done, and it needs to be done sooner instead of later.
Got a couple of minutes left here. You talked about balancing the budget.
Yes.
How do you do it?
The balance. Okay, all of our money's going into the foreign arena. The wars. I mean, we need to bring our monies back here to the U.S. We have infrastructure problem. We need to stop funding the WHO. We need to stop funding the UN. The UN is turning around funding the NGOs. The NGOs are turning around funding those illegals that are coming up Central America and Mexico.
This is true.
We need to stop foreign countries that don't have our best interests at heart. I mean, given money, and I know that we pay monies to these countries to keep them at bay. But at some point, we're like, you know what? We need to play hardball. Yep. We need to get back to that. We need to also do line by line budgets. It's as simple. You look at that, go, no, you need to not see how elephants fly. No, we have to, I mean, we just got to have common sense, and we can do it.
What has Stacey Zinn learned in talking with the people on the trail?
Oh, people have passion out there, and passion, and people are getting tired of not being heard. They realizing that they need to support someone there that has their back. We have wonderful, wonderful people, but they're getting a little bit upset at their politicians, and I don't blame them. And that's why I stress, I'm not a politician. You are the bosses. The voters are our bosses, and it's time that they recognize that and remember that, and it's time that the politicians that are being elected also recognize that.
All right, we have 30 seconds. It's Zinn, Z-I-N-N, 4, F-O-R-M-T. com for more information. Where can we find you next?
Well, I think that's a good question. I'm all over the place. Right now I'm Yellowstone County. I'll be going over to Lewistown, and I'll be going over to Livingston and to that general region.
Stay away from the bucking horse sale. Nothing.
Oh, no, I'm going there.
Oh, of course you are. I'm saying that.
Oh, my gosh, my brain fart.
Oh, no. Oh, that is going to, oh, God.
I'm sorry, Custer County.
Yeah, I know. I know you were going. But I'm just be careful, okay?
Okay.
Because some of our broadcasters will be there.
Oh, I look forward to that.
Yeah, right. Hey, good stuff, and good luck. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe, and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.